السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبو عامر، how are you?
الحمد لله سيد.
We can go with the class, come.
Yes.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Today, bi-ibnillah, we'll be continuing with our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. We have repeatedly mentioned that this book is called Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Otherwise, its real name is Kitab al-Adab, or Al-Adab, Manas. But Al-Mufrad is included to make it be different, to differentiate it between this book containing narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions and the tabi'un and those who are their students. This book has these narrations, and some of them, the bulk of them, over 90% of them are all authentic ahadith, authentic athar. To make it look different from Kitab al-Adab, the chapter regarding the issues of manas in the other book that he has, Sahih al-Bukhari. And so al-Mufrad, which means something done separately, is connected to al-Adab, by way of meaning that a book specifically compiled differently regarding the manas, the issues of manas. And in a more difference with Sahih al-Bukhari, in Sahih al-Bukhari, there are only reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which form the basis of the book as Sahih. But here in Al-Kitab al-Adab, Al-Mufrad, we have reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and those after them. So this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, was deliberately compiled by Al-Imam al-Bukhari to teach the Ummah the issues of manners and dealings between people, between a man and his relatives, his family, his children, his kith and kin, his neighbors, his slaves, his servants, and the rest of those that we have had to discuss in this book. Bismillah, there are many other issues regarding the manners in Islam that we shall come across in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. This is the first introductory statement I like to make today by way of a reminder. The second one by way of a reminder also is that we would have noticed that we have a lot of ahadith that have discussed the issues regarding our slaves, our servants, and our subordinates. A lot of ahadith. We have read more than 20 ahadith separately talking about slaves, servants, and subordinates and their relationship with their superiors. The question can come to mind, why is it that we have had this large number of ahadith regarding these matters? And two explanations. One is that these issues are issues that concern everybody. The issues of relating with those who are your subordinates, they concern everybody. Everybody in every place, whether in a place of work or at home, we have people who are either above us or below us. This is the way Allah has created human beings. We always ever have amongst people those who are above many others, and we have those who are also below the people. So you are either always having someone above you or someone below you. Everybody has someone above him. Everybody has someone below him. So if everybody has someone below him, how should we relate with these kinds of people who are below us? And if everybody has someone above him, how does he relate with someone who is above him? Everybody is one subordinate somehow. Everybody is one subordinate somehow. And everybody is one head somehow. And the least of what the person can head is himself, self-control. So we, in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, under this chapter, we have relationship with people who are above us. We have relationship with people who are below us. What has Islam taught us about these relationships? How do we handle them and not become people who commit sins direct iniquities to people? The second reason is that these issues, people fall short regarding them easily. Many of the people fall short easily regarding their dealings with their subordinates, maybe because of arrogance and self-importance. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all of us. Many of the times people fall short regarding the rights of their subordinates. They are careless about it, and largely perhaps because people feel that, hey, well, he's my subordinate, she's my subordinate, she cooks for me, she works for me, I pay her salary, so there is nothing that I do that he or she who is my subordinate should not accept. But we fail to remember that there is the one who is the owner of all of us, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he has given rights to subordinates, he has also given rights to superiors. So superiors must pay sufficient, good enough attention to the rights of their subordinates. We are upon the chapter about nafaqatu rajuli ala abdihi wa khadimihi sadaqa. We are upon the chapter that the spending of a man ala abdihi wa khadimihi, regarding his slave, wa khadimihi, and his servant. Many of the scholars say when this word khadimihi is employed, it makes us understand that these matters are not just about slaves that we own. It's not just about slaves that we buy. The khadim may not be a slave. He may just be someone you have employed to provide particular service to you. So when he provides service to you, yakhdumuka, he is serving you. And that's why when we mentioned the last hadith, the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, earlier in about 3-4 hadiths away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ikhwanukum khawalukum. He said alayhi salatu wa sallam, ikhwanukum khawalukum. And we explained that khawalukum are those who take care of alladhina yuslihuna ahwalana, those who try to perfect our affairs. They take charge of our affairs. They may be someone that you own. They may be someone that you, the only thing you have about them is that you pay them for the service. In that case, they come under your khadim. They come under your khadama. So you can say the abd is the slave that you own, and the khadim is the one who provides you some sort of a service. He may just be a cleaner, or she may just be the cleaner who provides you some sort of a service. So these people, when we show them kindness, when we also discharge the basic duties that we owe them, what is the benefit regarding that is what we are discussing in this chapter. Nafaqatu rajuli ala abdihi wa khadimihi sadaqatun. Nafaqatu rajuli ala abdihi wa khadimihi sadaqa. A man's spending upon his slave and his servant, sadaqa, is a means of sadaqa, is a means of seeking reward. We should not also forget that sadaqat are of two forms. Some of them are compulsory and some of them are supererogatory. Some of them are from wajibat, and some of them are from mandubat. So depending on which one of those sadaqat you fulfill regarding yourself, regarding your slave, they either fall under obligatory sadaqah or they fall under recommended and supererogatory sadaqah. The last hadith we read was hadith 196, and that is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, khayru sadaqati ma baqa ghina, khayru sadaqati ma baqa ghina, the best of charity, ma baqa ghina, is the one that makes you remain sufficient. Baqa ghina, it keeps you, the one who gave the sadaqah, it makes you remain with something with you. It makes you remain with sufficiency. It does not make you become a pauper who now has to go about going to start asking and begging the people. So the best of the sadaqah is the one that you give. When you give it, you still have sufficiency of the mind and physical sufficiency with material wealth. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayru sadaqati ma baqa ghina, the best of sadaqah is the one who makes, is the one that makes you remain sufficient. وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى, and the giving hand, الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا, the one that is above. We said that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, where the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that the الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا هِيَ الْمُنْفِقَى, the one that is above is the one that is giving. So if we say al-yadul ulya, the one, the hand that is above, that is the giving hand, khayrun min al-yad al-sufla, is better than the one that is receiving. That is the one that is below, the one that is under. So don't spend in such a way that your hand comes under, you start having to ask. That's the connection between this first expression. The best of sadaqah is the one that makes you remain still. You still have something to suffice with yourself. Because if you don't spend in such a way that you still have something to suffice yourself with, you become a man whose hand comes under. And al-yadul ulya, the giving hand, is better than the one that is in it, the one that is under. And then he taught us alayhi salatu wasalam how to start that sadaqah. He says, wabda' biman ta'ud alayhi salatu wasalam, start with those that you by obligation spend upon, and those are your dependents. We mentioned that those are our wives, our children, our servants, and the rest of them. And in the report of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, ibda' biman ta'ul, he said, ummaka wa abaka, your mother and your father, wa ukhtak, and your sister, wa akhaka, and your brother, summa adnaka wa adnak, then subsequently, the nearer they are to you, then the closer they are to you. So we mentioned that these people were specifically mentioned so that the individual does not think that the only people that he has the duty to spend upon are his wives and children who are under his roofs. Your mother, your father, your brother, and all of these may not be under your roof. If they are from those who depend on you, then you have a duty to follow and discharge that responsibility. And Abu Huraira, while explaining this, he said, Takulu imra'atuka, your wife will say to you, if you don't spend upon her, anfiq alayya aw talliqni, spend on me or divorce me. That's what the wife will say. You either spend on me, please, or kindly let me go. Wa yakulu mamlukuka, even your slave that you have would say, anfiq alayya aw bi'ni, my master, please spend on me, aw bi'ni, or sell me to someone who will spend on me. So don't be a man who will have to be told this. Don't be a man that your wife will have to start telling you, please spend on us or divorce me or let me go back to my father's house. Women say this a lot. When a man becomes failing in maintaining them, when a man becomes and starts to fail in maintaining his home, it does not take long before the wife begins to tell him, please spend on me or let me go. Abu Huraira said, don't be a man that has to be told that. Don't wait before that happens to you. And one of the ways that you must note before that happens to you is that don't be a spendthrift. Fatakuna maluman. You become, like Allah said in the Quran, you become a person that becomes to be blamed. Don't be spent such that in the end, you become to be blamed because you had spent, you did not leave sufficient enough for yourself and for your dependents. So you become to be blamed by your wife, you become to be blamed by your servants and your subordinates. They will say, Oga cannot pay salaries. So let him leave us if they are patient for the first, second, third month. By the fourth month, they will start mourning it amongst themselves. Oga cannot pay salaries. Maybe he should start downsizing and the like of that. Don't be a man like that. Be careful how you handle your expenses. And the last of what will happen to you is that your children too will begin to say, Ila man takiluna. Daddy, to whom are you leaving our affairs to? To whom do you repose our affairs? Spend on us. Who are you leaving? Who are you leaving us to spend on us? Don't wait for this. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The point of reference in this hadith is that as-sadaqah, in all of these expenses, in all of this spending that we do, they are from the aspects of as-sadaqah. And that will come from two major angles. It could be obligatory sadaqah, the one you spend on your wives and your children. It can be obligatory. It can also be recommended. It can be obligatory if you make the obligatory, basic obligatory provisions. These are obligatory on you. And you gain the rewards of obligatory sadaqah. The sadaqah we also spend on all the peoples that we give, whatever we give, may also be recommended, whether it is your wife or children. And that is when you provide them maintenance. You spend on them a bit above the basic need that they have. The one that goes above comes under recommended sadaqah, and it will be so rewarded. So sadaqah, every sadaqah that you give, every spending that you make, when you spend on your wife, when you spend on your children, when you spend on your slaves, when you spend on your father, when you spend on your mother, your sister, your brother, they are in two categories. That which is obligatory, which is the basic need of that individual, if he comes under those who depend on you, and the one that is recommended. That is what you provide them that is above, whatever goes beyond the basic need will come under the issues of recommended sadaqah. In it all, sadaqah is from the best of things that we can do. The Quran itself makes us understand one of the biggest rewards of sadaqah. The main reason I'm mentioning this is that we are under the chapter about what do I gain if I spend on my servant. You say I should spend on my servant. I should provide him food good enough. This is basic. And then if I'm able to provide something better than that, then better. You can ask, what do I gain? From the major things you will gain when you provide obligatory sadaqah and you provide recommended sadaqah is that Allah will protect you from the fire. One of the major things you will gain is that when you spend providing obligatory sadaqah and providing recommended sadaqah, is that Allah will protect you from the fire. The major thing of benefit in giving out, in spending upon yourself, in spending upon your wives, in spending upon your children, in spending upon your servants, your subordinates, is that by means of your spending, Allah will reward you with protection from the fire. And Allah says in the Quran, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. Those who are atqa, they will be protected from narun talazza. Allah mentioned the fire that conquers everything. But he said, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. The righteous ones shall be protected from the fire. They will not get into the fire. Allazi yu'ti. He wants to tell us who are those people who are and will gain protection from the fire. Allazi yu'ti ma lahu yatazakka. This is a point of reference. Yu'ti ma lahu yatazakka. He gives his wealth by way of seeking righteousness. He gives his wealth. The reason he gives from his wealth is that he seeks to be righteous. These people, sayujannabuha, they will be protected from the fire. They will be protected from the fire. Why? Yu'ti ma lahu yatazakka. He gives from his wealth. He gives, spends on himself. He spends on his wife. He spends on his children. He spends on the rest of his dependents. He spends on his father. He spends on his mother. Shaitan will come to him and say, all these you're suffering day and night, spending, spending, spending. What do you want to gain from it? The response is that you want to gain protection from the fire, because Allah promises in the Quran that those who spend yatazakka by way of seeking righteousness and purity, sayujannabuha, Allah will protect them from the fire. So yu'ti ma lahu yatazakka. He spends his money by way of seeking purity. Allah says, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجِزَى. This is in Surah Al-Layl. We read beat surahs very well. This is what it, this is what they mean. He says, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجِزَى. There is no one عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجِزَى that he expects to reward him. When you are spending on your wives, you are not expecting that someone will come back and reward you. When you are spending on your children, you are not expecting that someone will come back and reward you. When you are spending on your servants and your subordinates and your mother, your father, your brother, and the rest of the dependents who depend on you, you are not hoping that, oh, they will come back tomorrow and pay you back. That was not your intention to spend on them. Mali ahadin indahu min ni'matin tujza. In his view, there is no anyone who has anything to reward him back. Illa ibtigha'a wajhi rabbihi al-a'la. The only thing he was expecting when he was making those expenses upon himself, upon his family, upon his children, upon his brother, upon his mother, is that wajhi rabbihi al-a'la. He was expecting to meet Allah with a good face. He was spending by way of seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Allah that is Al-A'la, that is high above all things. Allah that is high above all things is the one that he seeks when he spends. Allah that is richer than all those who are rich. Allah who provides for all. Allah who rewards all. Allah who has the best of rewards. That is where he fixes his attention. That is where he fixes his intention. When he spends on his wife, Allah will reward me. When he spends on his children, Allah will reward me. These are his expectations. Allah says, "Wala sawfa yarda." And very, very shortly, we will grant him pleasure. He will soon be pleased. Because when he is protected from the fire, then Allah provides him the garden of Al-Jannah. So this is the major benefit. So when we say spending on the family is sadaqah, what does that mean? It means that it will be a means of protection for that individual against the fire of Jahannam. This is just one of the many blessings and rewards of sadaqah. So when we say spend on your servant, spend on your subordinate, it's sadaqah. You can start asking, so what does that mean? How does that mean gaining? It means gaining from one gain, from one of the many gains of sadaqah, is that Allah uses it as a means of protection for you against the fire. And then he said at the end of that verse in Surah Al-Layl, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and then you shall gain pleasure. You will gain pleasure. That's rida that you shall gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's placement into Al-Jannah. So it will protect you, bi'iznillah, for the sake of Allah. When you spend, you gain protection from the fire. You also gain admission into Al-Jannah. Now, there's a point in that verse that we have also emphasized, that requires to be emphasized. Allah says, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا بِتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. When you are spending, you are not spending so that you may be praised. You are not spending so that someone comes back and rewards you for spending over your family or over your dependents. The only thing you seek in it is that you seek the face of Allah. So the ulama say this means that if you want to gain rewards for all your suffering over your family, you must intend that you are doing it for the sake of Allah. This condition is very important. Many times we spend for our children, we spend over our wives, we spend over our relatives and dependents, just for the sake of spending. Please allow me rest. You want it? Take it. Don't be that man. Did you not ask me for the 5,000 yesterday? And then today you're asking for 2,000 again. And then next tomorrow you're asking for 3,000. You want to kill me? Okay, take it. Have it. Don't spend like this. Spend by way of thinking and hoping in the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ يَحْتَسِبُهَا كَانَتْ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ. إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ يَحْتَسِبُهَا. If a Muslim spends anything for maintaining his family, أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً, whatever you spend, whatever you give your family, your home, your dependents, your children, your wives, your relatives who depend on you, your father, your mother, whatever you give them, and at the time that you give them, tahtasibuha. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa huwa yahtasibuha. At the time that he spends, yahtasibuha, he is hoping in that spending, anticipating rewards for that spending. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that spending is a means of sadaqah for him. That is, it will be rewarded as a sadaqah. It will get the rewards of sadaqah. It will get the rewards of protection from the fire. It will get rewards of admission into Al-Jannah. So this is what we should have in mind when we spend for our slaves, when we spend for our servants, when we give them things of benefits, your workers, your subordinates, your nannies, your cooks. When you are nice to them, be sure that your niceness to them is not in vain. Hope and anticipate in reward is a condition. If you don't hope and anticipate in those rewards, then there are no rewards. The only thing is that the individual may not be punished for abandoning his family. But the other side of the coin is that when he provides for his family, he evades the punishment for abandoning them, and he gains other things. So he has lost the gains if he was not anticipating gains. If you don't anticipate and hope for gains, then you don't gain anything. But when you anticipate from Allah and you hope in Allah for gains, Allah says, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, you shall gain. You will get that pleasure from Allah. Because you did it for him, he will reward you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not do it for him, don't expect rewards from him. If you do it for the sake of Allah, expect the rewards from Allah. If you do not do it for the sake of Allah, don't expect Allah to reward you. You may not be punished for abandoning your family, but you will not get the rewards that are connected to that job. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This point required some level of clarification, was the reading. The reason I came back to it, we quickly go to hadith number 197, which is the last hadith under this chapter heading. And we hope that today, bismillah, we have sufficient time for questions. I suggest that we begin to send in our questions. Once we, bismillah, end hadith 197, which will be brief, inshallah, we will take the questions that we have for today, bismillah, as much as time will permit. الإمام البخاري in حديث 197 said رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن كثير الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن كثير قال أخبرنا سفيان عن محمد بن عجلان عن المقبوري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بصدقة فقال رجل عندي دينار قال أنفقه على نفسك قال عندي آخر قال أنفقه على زوجتك قال عندي آخر قال أنفقه على خادمك ثم أنت أبصر. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن كثير. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Kathir, that is Abu Abdullah al-Abadi. Muhammad ibn Kathir, he is Abu Abdullah al-Abadi. This is not Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, the author of the book of Tafsir. The author of the book of Tafsir is Ismail and not Muhammad. But this author is Muhammad ibn Kathir. Rahimahullah, he is Abu Abdullah al-Abadi. He said, Akhbarana Sufyan. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri is the one from whom Muhammad ibn Kathir has reported this hadith. And he is reporting from Muhammad ibn Ajlan. We know Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ajlan al-Madani. We had read a number of ahadith from Muhammad ibn Ajlan in the chapters, in the few reports that we had. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ajlan was originally from Al-Iskandariya, Alexandria in Egypt. And then he later went to Medina. He lived and died in Medina. Rahimahullah Muhammad ibn Ajlan. And Al-Maqburi. Al-Maqburi here is Al-Imam Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id. Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id al-Maqburi. We read a number of his hadith too, and he reports a hadith from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. And Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, amara an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama bisadaqa. On one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam amara bisadaqatin. He commanded that the people should give sadaqah. He exhorted the people to give sadaqah. One of the scholars said this is evidence that the leader of the people, those who teach the people, those who guide the people to goodness, should also tell them to give sadaqah. Your ustad in your area, your imam in your masjid, should be the ones also encouraging you to give sadaqah. Your teacher in the madrasa should encourage you to give sadaqah. Teachers in madaris, encourage your students to give sadaqah. Encourage your students to give sadaqah. Parents, encourage your children to give sadaqah. People should, those who are in charge of many of the people, should always encourage these people to give sadaqah. So I also encourage you to give sadaqah. Oh, brothers, oh sisters, give sadaqah for the sake of Allah, whether the sadaqah is obligatory, which would mean fulfill your obligations. Fulfill your obligations and find the opportunity also to give from recommended sadaqah. everybody should fulfill. Parents, husbands, take care of your wives. Spend upon your wives. Why am I saying this? Because the ulama say the evidence from this hadith that Amara al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam bi-sadaqah is that every person in the place, in the position to teach the rest of the people has a duty to encourage them to give sadaqah. We remember the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas and others. When the women observed Salatul Eid with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet went alayhi salatu wasalam specially to the women, and one of the things he told them in the brief sermon he would give afterwards was that they should give sadaqah. So every imam who leads the people in Salatul Eid encourage the people to give sadaqah. The heads of communities encourage the people in your community to give sadaqah. Ustaz in madaris encourage your students to give sadaqah. Husbands, encourage your wives to give sadaqah. Heads of work, heads of service places, encourage your subordinates to give sadaqah. Encourage them, my people, my teachers, my workers. Give sadaqah. Once you are the head of a people, we have a duty to encourage those people who work with us or under us, or those who take instructions from us, those who take advices from us, those that we teach and guide. We have a duty to encourage them to give sadaqah. Why? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the head of the people alayhi salatu wa salam, and their guide, he used to command the people to give sadaqah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once while he did that, faqala rajulun, a man asked, indi dinar, as if to say, okay, now I want to give the sadaqah. How do I give it? The man said, indi dinar, I have 1 dinar. The dinar is the golden coin. The dinar is the golden coin. And the dirham is the silver coin. The dinar is equivalent to 4.2 grams of gold. 1 dinar is equivalent to 4.2 grams of gold. 1 dinar is equivalent to 4.2 grams of gold. If you want to know how much was this, just look for the current price of 1 gram of gold. If you look for the current price of 1 gram of gold, you will know how much that companion has, radiallahu anhu, on that day when he asked that question. 1 gram of gold. 4.2, 1 dinar is 4.2 grams of gold. That was what he had. You see, the companions were not all poor. Many times when people talk about the companions, they are thinking about some poor people. Many of the companions were rich, radiallahu anhu. Many of the companions were very, very rich people. They were people who worked very hard and earned. People like Abu Bakr and Siddiq were rich. People like Omar were rich. Uthman was rich. Radiallahu anhum. Ali ibn Abi Talib was rich. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib was rich. Abdullah ibn Omar was rich. Abu Huraira was rich. Radiallahu anhum. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a rich person. It's not just all about poverty and poverty and poverty. We are not inviting to richness or this, but people have an impression. When you talk about the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the attention of the people is all about some set of poor people who did not have the things of this world. Allah blessed the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too with the things of this world, apart from the things of the hereafter. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was rich. Amr ibn al-As, his father, was rich. Radiallahu anhum. This companion had 1 dinar, 4.2 grams of gold. Go and look for it. How much does that cost? That's not what a poor man has. Radiallahu anhum. This companion had 4.2 grams of gold, and he was asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do I spend it? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anfiqhu ala nafsik. Spend it upon yourself. So the first thing to consider when you spend is yourself. when you spend upon yourself, it is sadaqa upon yourself. The first things that you consider when you want to spend, look at yourself. Spend upon yourself. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, anfikru ala nafsik, spend it upon yourself. Qala indi akhar. The companion said, I have a second one. So how many grams of gold does he have? Not less than 8.5 grams of gold. He had a second one. He had a second dinar. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anfiqhu ala zawjatik, spend it upon your wives. He had a second dinar. The first dinar is 4.2 grams. The second dinar will get him up to 8.5 grams of gold. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spend upon the additional, make it go upon your wives. Qala indi akhar, radiyallahu anhu. That will get us to about 13 grams of gold. He had a third one. He had a third dinar. Radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anfikhu ala khadimik, spend it upon your khadim, your servants, those who work for you, those who serve you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma anta absar, after this counting, anta absar, you know best, you are most discerning. Look into your affairs, study the people around you, study those who will not have but will not ask you. Think after your. In the report of this hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually started with the children. He started with the children. After he mentioned himself, anfiqhu ala nafsik, the next one, anfiqhu ala awladik, aw ala waladik, spend it upon your children. Then he mentioned the wife. Then he mentioned the slaves and the servants. So the first thing you spend on yourself, then your children, then your wives, yourself, then your children, then your wives, and then your servants. This is how this hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. The ulama say the reason why the children were mentioned before the wives, why was it that the children were mentioned before the wives? Because if we look at the hadith before this, the complaint of the children will be, ilaman takiluna, who will you hand over our affairs to? So the child does not have anybody to go to except his father or her father, as the case may be. But as for the woman, what she will say is that, anfiq alayya, spend on me, autalikni, or divorce me. So there's always an alternative for the woman. Hey, spend on me or send me back to my father. But for the children, who do you send them to? So that's why the children come in preference before their mothers. They don't have, children don't have anywhere to go to. So spend on yourself, spend on your children, spend on your wives, spend on your servants and subordinates. Then after that, you look into your affairs. Look at the people around you. Look at those who will not ask you, but they do not have. Look at those who have, but the resources went away from them and they became in need. Look at the widows around you. Look at the orphans around you. Look at the rest of the people around you who are in need. Then spend on them. That was why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, upon the mention of a third dinar, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, thumma anta absar, after I have mentioned your children, after I have mentioned your wives, after I have mentioned your servants, thumma anta absar, after that, you are the one who should think who next deserves that you extend the hand of charity to. The point of reference in this is that what you spend to your servant are charity. Your spending upon your servant is also charity. is also sadaqah. And what that means is that you will gain the rewards of sadaqah, whether obligatory sadaqah or recommended sadaqah. You will gain the rewards of sadaqah when you spend upon your khadim. When you spend upon your servant, you gain the rewards of sadaqah. When you spend upon your servants, you gain the rewards of sadaqah. Again, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Amara an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam bi sadaqah. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam began to exhort and command us to give sadaqah. Faqala rajulun, one man amongst the people said, Indi dinar, messenger of Allah, I have 1 dinar, meaning I have about 4.29 grams of gold, as we had mentioned. That's 1 dinar, 4.25. 1 dinar is 4.25 grams of gold. I have 4.25 grams of gold with me. How do I do it? The Prophet said, Anfiqhu ala nafsik, spend it upon yourself. Qala indi akhar, he asked, I have another one. Anfiqhu ala waladik, spend it upon your children. Qala indi akhar, he said, I have another one. I have a third one. He says, Anfiqhu ala zawjatik, spend it upon your wives. That is the third one. He asked again, alayhi salatu wasalam, indi akhar. So he had 4 dinars. So 4 dinars will be 4 times 4.25. How many grams of gold would he have had? He had about 17 to 18 grams of gold. About 18 grams of gold. Radiallahu anhu. The Prophet then said, Summa anta absaru. After that, you are the one who knows best. You are the one who will look into the affair to see. One of the scholars who discussed this hadith said, Summa anta absaru is one thing we do not do again when we want to give sadaqah. Summa anta absaru. You sit down, you study the affairs of the people, and you give them accordingly. You sit down to study the people, and then you give them, this one will need something like this, you give him. This one will need something like this, you give him. This one will need something like this, you give him. But giving requires study. It requires understanding the people you want to give and the benefits that what you are giving them is likely to bring to them. It's not just abrupt. It's not abrupt. You go to the state and start flowing the money. Just throw it. The people, everybody pick. This is not from Basira. The Prophet says, Summa anta absaru. You know best. Meaning that you can think, give insight, give good contemplation, and spend rationally. Spend it rationally. Be rational with it. Be intelligent with that spending. Don't just go about throwing the money into places. Don't give your money. Like Allah said, وَلَا تُعْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Do not give people imbeciles the money, people who will destroy the money. It is from the aspect of thinking about how you give, thinking about how you spend. I think I like to stop here so that we can take a good number of questions today. I hope that it is clear that whatever we spend upon our servants are from the aspects of either obligatory sadaqah when we fulfill their basic needs, or recommended sadaqah when we give them excess beyond their basic needs, and that one is encouraged. And from the major gains of giving in sadaqah is that Allah uses it as a means of protection from the fire and as a means of admitting us into al-Jannah. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us what to give. We beg Allah to provide us what to give. Sometimes you want to give and you don't have. Many people like you see, they want to give, but they don't have what to give. They don't have what to give. May Allah provide us what to give. There were companions like that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad. Allah mentioned them in Surah At-Tawbah. When the Prophet says, give, alayhi salatu wasalam, they want to give, but they don't have what to give. They want to give, but they don't have what to give. So these people, Allah rewards their intentions, subhanAllah. So be hopeful. You want to give, you don't have what to give. And when it says that the companions do not have what to give, they really do not have what to give. many of us who in these times we may want to give but don't have what to give. We may even be richer than some of the companions at that time who want to give but do not have anything to give. La yajiduna ma yunfiqun. They can't find anything. Ma, this is from Siga of Humo. They can't find anything to give. Anything to give, they can't find. Many of us can still find something to give. And Sodako is not small. So don't think that I have to be a Dangote before I can give. From that, you're little. Leonfik Vusatin means that. The one that Allah has expanded his wealth. Leonfik means that. Let him give from that expanse. Woman Kudira alayhi risku. The one that Allah has only given him a little. Let him give from that little that Allah has given. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa ma ataha. Allah has not burdened any soul except what that soul places upon itself. But everybody should be aware. Sayaj'alullahu ba'da usri. Allah will bring ease out of his mercy after hardship. So this is what by which we console those of our brothers. We who could not give, who want to give, just be hopeful that Allah will, bismillah, out of his mercy, provide you a means of giving. Sometimes some of the brothers can't even provide for their wives, they can't provide for their children. We find cases like this. We beg Allah to make ease for these people to be able to provide for themselves, to provide for their wives, to provide for their children, the rest of their dependents. And those who have, I urge you, look for the people to provide your wealth with. Because a day shall come when that the provisions will not be useful to you. Once you die now, it goes. Once you are gone, it's gone. Once you are gone, it's gone. Once you are gone, it's gone. We beg Allah to make ease for us. I urge us all to give. Everybody, give according to what you have. I think we can go to the questions now to see whether we can answer a few questions, bismillah, as the time will permit. Abu Amir. Ameen. Abu Yusuf, you are back. Ameen, wa iyyak, bismillah.
The first question I say, I heard that as a believer, good deeds are counted with minimum of 10 hasanat, while bad deeds are counted as one. How true is this? Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khair. The 10 is the minimum. Wallahi. Good deeds. Allah alone knows the manifolds. He says, innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. Allah rewards those who are patient. When you want to give, you are giving patiently. It's not that you don't like it. You like the money too. When you are patient as you are giving, you want to give somebody 1 naira. Are you not patient? You need the money too. You can at least get yourself something with it. But you patiently give it out. Every ibadah that you perform is out of patience too. From the major aspect of patience is patience regarding ibadah. Just like patience regarding avoiding sin is also from the aspects of patience. And here when Allah talked about it, he says, yuwaffa bighayri hisab. He will reward without accounts, beyond counting. So to say good deeds are rewarded with 10 rewards is that it's small. Allah alone knows. Because you see 700 in some places. You see 1,000 in some places. So Allah alone knows how much rewards he will give you back for whatever you do. So it is correct and beyond correct, meaning that, yes, you gain 10 rewards and beyond 10. And from his mercy on us is that when we commit a sin, we are just that one sin is recorded for the individual. Just that one. He did just one. For when you do good, he gives you in manifolds. Because Allah is Ra'uf. Allah is Ra'uf. He is Ar-Ra'uf. He is Ar-Rahim, subhanahu. Allah is Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. Allah is Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. Allah is absolutely compassionate with us. So he rewards goods with manifold. And when someone does any negative thing, one evil, he just, that is evil. He gets the reward, just that one reward, one recompense. But if it were good, manifolds, he alone knows how much it is. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, Abba Yusuf. Ameen wa antum fi jazakumul khair.
May Allah bless you and keep you safe.
Please,
what if I spent my money for personal use as a wife? How is... Can you hear me, sir?
If a woman spends her money for her personal needs, I can hear you.
Now, you say my husband fears that it may affect his barakah, like reducing how Allah bless him if I spend my money on myself.
Well, that is contest upon goodness. The husband has a duty. If he chooses to do it for you, accept it. You have a duty too. You have a privilege. But for him, it's a duty. For the husband, spending on the wife, it's a duty. It will either come either on obligatory sadaqah or recommended sadaqah. When he provides your basic needs, that's obligatory sadaqah he is giving. And when he gives you excess, that is recommended sadaqah that he's giving. He can be giving the two. He's a good husband. It's from the symbols of a good man. To spend on your household, to be nice to them in your spending. It's from the symbols of a good husband. Some people have and will still not spend on the woman. They'll be asking her, let us calculate rent. Let us calculate NEPA bill. He has. This is not from the symbols of a good man when he's pushing home responsibilities to his wife. This is not from the way of a good man at all. It is a sinful way of life. So if you are lucky as a woman, fortunately, isn't Allah, to have a man who wants to do it all on you, please accept it. Accept it. You can find other means of giving your sadaqah. Look for widows. Look for widows. A brother said something recently that caught my attention. He said once a woman marries, she can become a widow at any time. Once you're a married woman, you can become a widow at any time. Do we understand this concept? Meaning that every woman who marries can lose the husband because any person can die at any point in time. So if you are nice to widows, if you are nice to widows, your rewards shall be given to you. We read the narrations regarding them. And there are many widows now. There are many widows now. There are many orphans now who can't find a means to life. So such a woman who has excess from her wealth, after spending her basic needs, she can, and then she has a husband to take care of the basic needs. Employ your excess, O woman. Spend on widows. Spend on women who are cut off from male support, not just widows. Some women are divorcees. They can't find anybody to care for them. Spend on them. Allah will spend on you more. Your wealth will expand. Spend on them. Look for orphans. Don't start going to non-Muslim orphanages. Look for Muslims. There are a lot of Muslim children who come to madaris and they can't find a means to pay fees. Look for means of growing people. Provide them food. Provide them clothes. Give them what they need to grow up for the sake of Allah. So you don't need to contest with your husband in what you spend regarding yourself. Let your husband earn your rewards. And the means of earning rewards are so many. The means of earning rewards are so many. Even the ones that I gave as examples are just examples. If you go back to your family, you find eight cousins, you find brothers, you find aunts who are in need of that money you have as an excess. Spend it on them. But don't forget, every one of us spending, we must be hoping and anticipating in rewards from Allah. Otherwise, it will not have rewards. It is not sadaqah if it is not for the sake of Allah. If it is not for the sake of Allah, in Surah to Rum, like we mentioned in Surah to Lay, Allah says, فَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ والمسكين وابن السبيل ذلك خير للذين يريدون وجه الله. See, إرادة وجه الله is mentioned again. وأولئك هم المضعفون. So if it is not for the sake of Allah, then it is not صدقة. وما آتيتم من ربا ليربو في أموال الناس فلا يربو عند الله. What you give to the people hoping to get back, I just give it, I'll get it back. It will come back to me. It is not for the sake of Allah. He says, فَلَا يَرُبُوا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ. This one will not be nurtured for rewards with Allah. But وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاتٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. But what you give by way of seeking the face of Allah. See, mentioning face of Allah. Don't forget, whatever sadaqah you give, whatever spending you make, whatever expenses you make, make it for the sake of Allah. That is when it will be beneficial to you. For the sake of Allah. Don't forget, it must be for the sake of Allah. If it is not for the sake of Allah, it will not be rewarded by Allah. This is what the ulama say, and the Prophet said so. The verses of the Quran say so. So for the sake of Allah, let's keep it regularly in mind. What I'm giving now, I'm giving is for the sake of Allah. When you give your son, you are giving him for the sake of Allah. When you give your wife, you are giving her for the sake of Allah. And that's why you do not become a man who abuses a woman and insults her over what you have given her. We all should be careful about this. You do not spend on your wives, on your children, and all of those, and then you begin to insult them over what you have given them. It will destroy the rewards of your good deeds. It will destroy the rewards of your expenses and spending on them. May Allah protect each and every one of us.
Ameen.
Someone
misunderstood you in the class. He asked, I heard you saying someone that will not spend on the family will not be punished by Allah. He will only not get reward.
No. The one who spends but does not intend to gain rewards, he's spending on his family, he's spending on his wife, he's spending on his children, he's spending on his father and mother and all other dependents. But he's just spending it. He's not intending that what I am doing, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah and hoping that Allah will reward me. This kind of a person, he will not be punished for abandoning his family because he has not actually abandoned them. But he will not gain the rewards that are connected to doing sadaqah for the sake of Allah. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
No, yeah.
I mean,
when the wife says, Amfik alayya auto likni, or when the children say,
Ila man tekiluna.
Now, are they sinful?
Are they what?
Are they sinful when they say that?
No, they are not. Abu Huraira is saying that don't be a man that your children will begin to say that to you. Don't be a spendthrift. You are spending. Fatakuna. Ulama say this is from the aspects of that verse in Suratul Isra. You spend so much that you lose your wealth. And then your wife begins to say, spend on us. You can't find anything to spend. So that is why it says, خَيْرُ صَدَقَةِ مَا بَقَّ غِنَى. The best of sadaqah is the one that still leaves you with something. It leaves you with something you can spend on yourself. It leaves you with something you can spend on your wife and your children. Because if you don't spend on your wife and your children, they will come back to tell you this. The end of what happens is what Abu Huraira was saying. When a man abandons his home, he does not spend on his home. He does not maintain his wife. Many men are like this in our own times. In these times, many men are like that. They leave their wives and children to fend for themselves. When children come to ask for school fees in Yoruba, they say, Elobayayin, go and meet your mother. It is you. Don't be an irresponsible man. So the son begins to think, who is our father directing us to? So don't be a man like this. Don't be a man that your wife will have to tell you, Mr. Abu, if you cannot provide for me, kindly send me back to my parents. I have seen this a lot. I have seen it. We all would have seen it. A woman would be abandoned by the husband so much that she thinks that send me back to my parents is better for me. It happens. This is what Abu Huraira is saying. A man should not be like that. A man is a person of responsibility. And that's why we nurturing children, nurture your boys to grow up to take up responsibilities. Nurture your boys to see themselves as people who must be responsible, not just people who want to take to spend. No, they must be responsible. May Allah protect us all. I hope that that is clear about Yusuf. Amin wa antum. Jazakumullahu khairan.
I want to ask for more clarification on the hadith man anfaqa zawjayn dakhala al-janna.
Man anfaqa
zawjayn dakhala al-janna.
I don't understand it. Anfaqa zawjayn or anfaqa ala al-zawjayn. It's a strange expression to me. It's a strange expression to me. I think the person thinks that it is a hadith. It is strange to me. I don't know it.
Now, in the last class, you mentioned not to get reward for deeds you don't like to carry out, like a lady not liking to wear the hijab. What about a lady assuming the role of a breadwinner due to her husband's not fulfilling his duties? She doesn't like the role, but she's patient in it and hoping for reward. Will she be rewarded?
She shouldn't be patient over that. The husband should be called to responsibility. The husband should be invited to responsibility. You can't be patient over a sin. That the woman is not wearing her hijab, it's a major thing regarding her, that's from the aspects of disobedience to Allah. Fortunately, the reason for which she's doing that disobedience to Allah is not a reason for her to do that. So the husband should be compelled as much as is possible. The husband should be compelled to carry out responsibilities. His relatives, at least that was how that marriage went. His relatives should be made to know. The relatives of the woman should come in. No woman should be running around trying to fend for the home so much so that she loses those basic things she is going to be asked about. You are running over something you will not be asked about and losing the basic things regarding which you will be asked about. It is not from the aspect of good faith. This woman should try to go back to sound hijab, and then she should try for the sake of Allah to invite the parents of the husband into the matter. If she is not sufficed, then her own parents, her relatives, should come into this matter with her. It is not from any good that a husband is not spending on his family. Al-Imam ibn al-Munzir in Al-Awsat, he says the wife has a right to seek to the divorce from a man when he stops to maintain her. He says this is bil-ijma, by consensus. When a man fails to maintain, the wife has a duty by consensus. No man should sit down and then your wife is the one running around. Let's not be irresponsible. Men, stand up to your duties. Maintain your wives and your children. You have a duty to do that. And it is from the aspects of jihad for you. You have heard all the rewards that lays for you if you do it. So don't sit down waiting that your wife will maintain you. And one evil thing about this matter is that when a man begins to sit down expecting his wife to maintain him, he soon becomes very lazy and very, very lazy. He will find it hard to be able to do anything to maintain his home. Once a man starts it, taking from his wife and enjoying the wife maintaining him, the role soon changes. He soon becomes very lazy, so unable to do anything. So women, don't seek to take that responsibility. You will not be making any good to the man. You rather be destroying him. He gets used to it and he sits down with it. He is hardly able to do anything. Even when a job comes to him, he will not be able to do it well because you spoiled him in the first place. Men, stand up to your responsibilities at home. May Allah protect each and every one of us.
Now, Yashikana, even though we have many more, I think we can...
Yes, we can take the entire class tomorrow. You can take those questions. We can take the entire class tomorrow to ease off and answer questions, inshallah. Amin wa antum fa
jazakumullah.
Amin wa iyakum Aba Yusuf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.